God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our title for this evening's message, as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, is the title, The Bodily Ascension. Now, I will admit, Ascension Day in today's society does not get a lot of credit. There, unfortunately, are a lot of churches who don't celebrate this very important day and the theology which this day brings. We have to just recall just a few readings ago when we were reading our first reading from the book of Acts as we stopped and blew out the candle. Not that it was somebody's birthday or that I was trying to make a wish. No, the candle had a much greater importance. This was the same candle that was lit as part of our Advent wreath. On what particular day? That of Christmas Eve. To remind us that, yes, Christ is with us. To remember that, yes, God takes on flesh and blood. On that very first Christmas when he was born in Bethlehem, the Savior of the world now came and lived among us. And that's why we also call it the Christ candle. It is a reminder that God did take on this flesh and blood and made his dwelling among us, as John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." We celebrated that initial day as Christmas. And Christmas is an important day because God did take on flesh and blood, even though, unfortunately, not all Christians believe this. Unfortunately, there are some who believe that Jesus was just an ordinary child born of Mary and Joseph. Even though the next verse in John chapter 1, verse 15, where it says, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. Basically, John the Baptist knew that Jesus is the Christ. Even though John was older, should have more respect than his younger cousin, Jesus. But John knew it was before Jesus he would ultimately bow, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Even though we have this witness and testimony from the gospel readings, unfortunately there are some who don't believe it. And so on this day we celebrate this ascension. We are reminded of the theology that's underneath it. And we, as we ask the question, why do we celebrate this day? We'll sort of unpack a little bit of that theology and why is it important to us. But first of all, let's begin with that candle. We have kept that Christ candle lit during the first half of the church year, remembering that the church year began in November in the season of Advent. And from Advent through Easter, we are reminded about the physical life of Christ here on earth. The second half of the church year that begins with the season of Pentecost, we're reminded of the church and the activities of the Christian church thereof. So it is very fitting that on this Ascension Day, when we talk about Jesus' bodily ascension into heaven, we blow out that candle as a reminder that, yes, we are making this transition. We also note that this bodily presence of God taking on human flesh is also very important, not just with the incarnation on Christmas, but also with the death of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, on Good Friday. When Jesus, true God and true man, died on the cross. Both God and man, Jesus had to be. From the moment of his incarnation, God takes on human flesh and dwells among us. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that that is ever separated again. But Jesus maintains his Godhood and his humanity. This is important because when Jesus goes to the cross, he had to be perfect. He had to be without sin. And this is impossible for human beings. Needless to say, he had to be God. But he also had to die. He had to shed his blood to appease God's wrath. In order to do that, He had to be true man. Shedding of blood is very important. From the Old Testament, we had the various sin offerings in which various animals were used and their blood was shed to remind the people of the atonement that had to be made. And for those of you who are parents, especially as your little ones get a little older, you find out, or at least I have found out, maybe you haven't found out, that yes, they do cry, they do fall, they do skin their knees, but you really are called to attention when you see the blood being shed. Then you really need to pay attention. Otherwise, the little scrapes and bruises, that's okay. They'll live. But when there's blood involved, now that grabs our attention. So it is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He grabs our attention with the shedding of His blood. And more importantly, we have His attention. Let me continue on. The bodily presence is also important for the next major event, the event of Easter, the resurrection. If Jesus had not been true God, He would not have risen from the dead. If He hadn't been true man, there would have been no bodily resurrection. Noticing Mary, when she goes to the tomb, is clinging on to Jesus. The disciples seeing Jesus in flesh after the resurrection. 40 days now after this resurrection, we have today's event, where we see this true man and true God ascending into heaven, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, and is now, what? Where? At the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, where He is sitting there. This Ascension Day is important, because when Jesus ascended to the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, He ascended there as true man and as true God. This nature of this God-man in Jesus must be intact for the ascension to take place. Because once that incarnation, Christmas, takes place, it is never undone. You can never separate humanity and the divinity of Jesus after that. We may ask, well, what's the big deal? Why is this so important? Well, we have to take a look at why sometimes people want to separate this Jesus. Why they want to divide the humanity and divinity, and in doing so, we'll get an answer to our question. While sitting at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, most of Christianity accepts, some would say that Jesus is there and that He's only there. I don't know about you, but that doesn't leave me with a lot of hope and comfort. That Jesus is just at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? Didn't He say in the Scriptures that, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age? Yes, He did. So how can He be with us if He's at the right hand of God the Father Almighty? Did Jesus lie? The answer is no, He didn't lie. Yes, He is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. But being also true God, He is also with us always to the end of this age. How is this possible? Beats me, but this is what Scripture says. We got to remember we're talking about God here. We're not talking about a human being. Jesus is both true man and true God. It's impossible for me to be in two places at one time. There are sometimes my schedule fills up and I'm supposed to be in two places at one time, but I have to make a decision. I have to cancel one so I could be at the other. I guess I could make the decision and don't go to either one. Depends on what the two appointments are, and say, oh, I just got another appointment, and cancel both. But that's a different story. Getting back to this, Jesus is not just a man. He is also God. He can be at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, and He can be with us always to the end of the age. Some would say, well, it's great that His body is at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, but He is spiritually with you always to the end of the age. Well, that doesn't add a lot of hope to this scenario either. It's like someone saying, you know, I'm thinking of you. My spirit is with you in some transcendent way. Well, that's nice. Not that I don't not want your thoughts. You know, it's great that you're thinking of your pastor or whoever. But think of it this way. When you get hurt, or if a child is hurt, especially children, does that child need the parent to sit there and say, don't worry, honey, I'm thinking of you? No, that child wants that parent there to hold their hand, to hug them, to say, yes, I'm here for you. So likewise, us as human beings, we need that personal touch. We don't want God just to say He's thinking of us. We want God to take on that flesh and blood, to make His dwelling among us. That's why God did so. That's why He died on the cross. That's why He rose from the dead. That's why He bodily ascended into heaven for you, to secure your salvation. If God could have thought of our salvation and sit there and say, as He said to the light, let there be light, and just say, let there be salvation, gee, He wouldn't have had to go through all the pain, all the torture. He didn't have to go through all the steps of humiliation by taking on flesh and blood, by crying, by having hunger pains, by living in this sinful world. But we don't have a distant God who is up there in the heavens. We have a God who is personally and bodily with us here in the now. Why? Because you are important. God takes these steps of humiliation, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, the second article, that first half of it, is all these steps of humiliation where it says that Jesus Christ is only Son, our Lord. First step was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Those are the steps of humiliation. God didn't have to do that. He chose to do that for you. You see, God knows something about you. If I just say, I'm thinking about you, well, that's great. How about if I send you an email? Again, that's pretty impersonal. It's not the same as a flesh-to-flesh contact. It's not the same as a face-to-face meeting. Not the same as a good, firm handshake. Not the same as a good, firm hug or a kiss, depending on the different levels of bodily contact here. As human beings, we appreciate this type of contact. We need this kind of contact. For human beings to be alone, untouchable, is very lonely and very depressing. God isn't that type of God. God is the God who takes on human flesh and makes that contact with us because we need it. He is the one who lifts us up out of this sinful mess of ours and brings us to eternal life. He doesn't just think it and let it be. He comes down and takes flesh and blood and lives among us and accomplishes the salvation for us and gives it to us. How dare we say that Jesus is just at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, just thinking about us? No, He is with us always to the end of the age. Now we're able to get an understanding on why it's so important that we don't separate this humanity from the divinity of Jesus. I will admit, this is something extraordinary. You'll never see it throughout the history of mankind, because this is God's doing. It is different because this is our salvation. Remember, salvation can't come from us. The forgiveness of sins doesn't come from us. God's love doesn't come from us. God gives it to us because God touches our lives. This is different. This is where our hope, our strength continues to come in the world that seems to keep zapping our energy. It's not God in some transcendent thought about you. It is God who is there for you. And this is only possible because of the bodily ascension of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that we have at least a little bit more of an understanding of this bodily ascension, and we know that, yes, Christ did ascend bodily into heaven. This is what the Scriptures say. And we now take the same connecting point and we go back, not from the ascension, let's go back to Maundy Thursday, the day before our Lord and Savior was crucified. Right before His betrayal, He did what? He takes ordinary bread and ordinary wine in a special meal for the Passover and now deviates from that Passover meal and says, "This bread is my body." Again, unfortunately, there's some in Christianity who sits there and says, "Well, he really meant this symbolizes my body." Unfortunately, it's that same thought that sort of thinks that Christ is only at the right hand of God the Father Almighty and isn't with you always to the end of the age in bodily presence. But let's go back to what Scripture says. Scripture says, "This is my body. This is my blood." We do believe, we do teach that Christ is physically present in and with that bread and the wine. Why? Because we need to be reminded of this forgiveness of sins. We need to be strengthened in this faith. Why? Because this forgiveness of sins and this faith doesn't come from within us. It comes from outside of us to us. It comes from God as He takes on flesh and blood and dwells among us. Yes, He is bodily present to strengthen our faith, to remind us of the forgiveness of sins. So when Christians deny the bodily presence of Jesus the Christ in the bread and the wine, they're actually denying the forgiveness of sins and weakening their faith. And if they are weakening their faith in God, then they're putting their faith into something else. And then there is really apprehension about your eternal salvation. Because if my eternal salvation was left up to me, I'd be very afraid. If there's any possible way I can screw something up, somehow I find the way to do it. Henceforth, God takes on flesh and blood and makes His dwelling among us. Whereas we believe in the bodily ascension, the bodily presence of Christ in the bread and the wine for our salvation, now we get a little bit of a glimpse of what our gospel reading was trying to tell us. This is the reason why the disciples were overjoyed when the ascension took place. And they worshipped Him. And then they went to the temple praising God. Now let's just think about this for a moment. If you just got through losing a very close friend who you've spent every day with for the last 3 years, you've really gotten to know. This friend dies, you are in full grief. Now to find out this friend is alive again, you're rejoicing. Now to find out this friend is going to be taken away from you again, wouldn't you be back in that grief mode? Not the disciples. Notice what our gospel reading for today said. While He was blessing them, He left them and was taken up to heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. It doesn't sound like someone who's going through the struggles of grief, but the struggle and the joy that Christ brings. Because yes, they know that the bodily Christ is with them always. That's why they kept on praising God. And this is the reason why we celebrate this day. To remind us what God has done for us. That He is still with us. He is there. He cares. We are not alone. He's even there when it seems like no one else is around for us. When no one else is there to give us that hug we need, or that firm handshake, or that pat on the back, or that word of encouragement, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ is there. Because He cares for us. He knows what it's like to take on flesh and blood. Because He is living in that bodily presence now. He is truly true man and true God. This is the reason why the church celebrates this day. Not to sort of complete the physical life of Jesus here on earth, but to shout with all joy and triumph that yes, He is our Savior, and it's through Him we have comfort, we have hope, and we have salvation. What else can we say but amen? Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.